Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Jesus went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane, and his disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he prayed, "Father, not my will, but your will be done. If you are willing, take this cup from me." And then an angel appeared to strengthen him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood on the ground. And then he rose from prayer, and he came to his disciples, and he found them sleeping for sorrow. "Why do you sleep?" he said. "Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When I was professed as a Passionist in 1985, it was a beautiful profession ceremony. It happened in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We had my family there and friends and relatives. There were 8 of us being professed. And we all get to choose a title with our name. For example, somebody chose the name Jim of Jesus and Mary. Somebody chose the name Rick of the Transfiguration. Somebody chose the name David of the Most Holy Trinity. And the name that I took, or the title that I took, was Cedric of Jesus in Gethsemane. And the reason why I took that title and chose that title is because I am so struck by the bravery and the courage and the valor that Jesus had in that garden. He knew that the passion lay in front of him, the cross lay before him, and yet, instead of running, and he could have run, he chose to do God's will instead of his own will. He surrendered to God in a very beautiful way. He abandoned himself. This scene has captured my heart. It's captivated me. It's such a beautiful scene. Now, I've led pilgrimages to the Holy Land. In fact, I studied in the Holy Land. And when I've led pilgrimages there, when you go to the Church of All Nations, it's right outside Jerusalem, I take people to many different churches, but that particular church is where everybody gets so quiet and so reverential. And that's because of the profundity of the abandonment and the surrender that Jesus gave to God in that very spot. It's beautiful. And so I want to talk about a complete, profound surrender to God. I want you to know that Jesus surrendered himself to God. He yielded himself. He abandoned himself to God. And he said yes to God at that very moment. What he was doing was he was reversing Adam's no to God. Because if you remember, in another garden, not the Garden of Gethsemane, the Garden of Eden, Adam said no to God, Eve said no to God, and we fell. So that had to be reversed. And what Jesus did is he said yes in a surrender, and Adam said no as he did his own will, his selfishness. The Bible talks about Jesus' surrender as being a kenosis. This is a Greek word that means a self-emptying. And that's exactly what I believe that we have to do in our life. We have to empty ourselves. We have to say yes to God. We have to surrender to God in order to do God's will and to get close to God. Saying no is the essence of sin. Saying yes is the essence of obedience. And I really want to talk about this because I know you want to get closer to God. So what is surrender? You know, we all hear about this word surrender, and I'm talking about it now. And I really believe that the heart of Christianity is a spirituality of surrender, of yielding, of abandoning. If you read many of the saints, they use that word, abandon yourself to God. Surrender yourself to God. Yield yourself to God. It's such an important spiritual aspect. So what is surrender? We've all seen movies where they're having a battle and, you know, a war, and one force comes against another, and the smaller force surrenders to the larger force. The one who's winning the battle takes over, and the other one surrenders. And they might wave a white flag and say, "We surrender." And it has the connotation of losing or giving up. But I want to tell you that really, at its heart, surrender is not losing, it's winning. And it's certainly not quitting or giving up. Rather, surrender is being committed. It is actually when you're giving yourself totally, and it's not about quitting, it's about doing, and it's about accomplishing. For example, we all are familiar with the life of Mother Teresa, this great saint. She's now been beatified in the church, and she helped the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, India. It's because of her surrender before the Blessed Sacrament. It was because of her surrender to God in prayer that she raised up this community, the Sisters of Charity, and it was because of her surrender that she helped the poorest of the poor in Calcutta. It was because the woman was surrendered that she was proactive. See, I really believe that the most proactive and passionate people are the ones who are surrendered the most. Surrender doesn't mean that you're passive and you do nothing. Surrender means that you're active and you help people. For example, if you ever heard the story about St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Maximilian was a Franciscan priest, and he was captured in World War II and put into a Nazi concentration camp, the Nazi concentration camp of Auschwitz. And while he was in there, somebody tried to escape. And they had a rule that if any prisoner tries to escape, that the rest of the prisoners were going to have to suffer. And what they would do is, no matter who it was that tried to escape, they would take 10 prisoners and put them into a starvation bunker, and they would die in that starvation bunker of starvation. They would not give them any food. So they chose the 10, and one of the 10 was a man who had a wife and children, and he began crying. Maximilian Kolbe, talk about bravery. He steps forward and says to the commandant, "I want to take this man's place." Talk about a self-emptying. Talk about a kenosis. And the reason why Maximilian Kolbe could give himself in that starvation bunker is because he was a person who was surrendered to God. And when he saw his opportunity, he was willing to give himself. As Jesus said, no greater love does a person have for another than to die for that person, to give up their life for that person. That's exactly what Jesus did for us in his surrender, and that's exactly what Maximilian Kolbe did for that man. It was because he was surrendered, he was proactive, he was passionate. And I want you to get this, because my program is all about live with passion. And I want you to be a passionate person. I want you to be a person who lives with enthusiasm, with energy, with realizing your potential, living flat out for God. And there are no more passionate people than those who are surrendered. It's in that profundity of the surrender that you become a passionate person. If you know anything about the Gospels, and I know you do, that think about the scene where Jesus goes to the Sea of Galilee and he sees these fishermen. It was Peter and John and Andrew and James. And they were fishing. And Jesus said, "Come, follow me." And you know what they did? They abandoned, they yielded, they surrendered their boats, their nets, and even their parents, it says, and they followed Jesus. Matthew at the tax collector booth, he's there with all of his money, and Jesus passes by, and he says, "Matthew, follow me." And Matthew abandoned the money, his job, his family, and he followed Jesus. You see, surrender to me isn't just something that we do or just some fancy spiritual idea. To me, it's It's the fundamental act of discipleship. And it's what makes you a passionate person. Do you know what Matthew's life became? He wrote a gospel that ministers to billions of people. Talk about a passionate person. Why? Because he abandoned himself to God. What about Peter and Andrew, James and John? They became the great apostles. If you go to the Vatican and you look, you know, you'll see statues of them everywhere. And they turned the world upside down. They were passionate people because they relinquished their own will. They abandoned themselves to Jesus. And Jesus made them fishers of men and women. And in the same way, as you surrender yourself to God, God will use you to touch a world. Who are the surrendered people? Who are the proactive people? They're people who take care of elderly parents, even when it's hard. Surrendered people raise difficult children, even when it's hard. Surrendered people support their families and stay committed in their marriage, even when it's hard. And surrendered people get involved in the community, in the church. It was very difficult for me to give up my education. I didn't quit my education, but I had a whole different track. I was studying for business. I had a whole different idea about what I was going to do with my life. And it took a major surrender. It took an abandoning my own will, surrendering myself to God's will. And now I've become a passionate person. I don't know what my other life would have been. And I have a feeling it would not have turned out half as good as what I have now. Because when you abandon yourself, when you yield yourself, when you surrender yourself to God, He'll take you and He'll use you in a powerful way. And He'll work through you to touch people. So I'm inviting you to realize that discipleship, following Jesus, the fundamental act more than anything else, the beginning, I think, of discipleship, and the continuing of it, because it is a lifestyle, is to daily, and sometimes every minute, abandon yourself, surrender yourself, yield yourself. And this is what the saints have taught us, and this really is good, solid spirituality. Some examples, I don't know if you've ever heard about the life of St. Ignatius of Loyola. He lived in the 1500s. He lived in Spain, and as a young man, he was fighting a war for the King of Spain. And they were fighting against France. And a French cannonball came as he was in the battlefield, and it almost blew his leg right off. So here's this young man, Ignatius, from Loyola. He's in the hospital. And he realized that his life was not going in the right direction. You see, when you're in the hospital rehabilitating and trying to heal, you've got time to think. And long nights, long days. And you think about where your life is going, and you think about what's happening and what your dreams and visions are. And while he was there, he made a profound surrender to God. And God took him up on that surrender and filled him with the Holy Spirit. He had a beautiful conversion. And as you know, St. Ignatius of Loyola founded a community. And they're called the Jesuits, the Society of Jesus, founded for the greater glory of God. That's their motto. And of course, they do wonderful things in the church. They teach, they preach, and they advocate justice in the church and in the community everywhere. There are probably more Jesuits than any religious community in the Catholic Church. All because of this man, St. Ignatius of Loyola, and all because of his surrender to God. And of course, people that join the Jesuits, they have this long novitiate, a couple years, intense education. And so they have to make a complete surrender of their lives to become a Jesuit. It takes a lot of money and a lot of time. And St. Ignatius came up with this beautiful prayer that I wanted to share with you. It's a prayer of surrender attributed to him. And it goes like this: Take, Lord, receive all my liberty, my understanding, my entire will, all that I have and possess. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I give it back. All is yours. Dispose of it wholly according to your will. Give me only your love and your grace. That's enough for me. I love that. That there's a song in the church now, Take Lord, Receive, that we sing at times. And it's that whole thing of giving to God what he already gave to us, our will, our mind, our understanding, our memory, our entire will. St. Paul of the Cross, the founder of our community, the Passionist, said, abandon yourself fully into the ocean of God's love. See, the saints all talk about this abandonment, this yielding, this surrender, this giving of ourself to God, because we have our own will. We can be obstinate, we can be stubborn, we can be selfish. That's fallen humanity. That's the Adam in us. And what we have to do is surrender to Christ in us, the hope of glory. Surrender to this wonderful God who has given us everything in the first place. And what that does is it reverses the curse. Adam said no, Eve said no, Jesus said yes. And it's up to us now to say yes to God in a profound way, daily, many times a day, doing God's will. We pray that in the Our Father. We say, Father, your will be done. You know, sometimes we pray that so quickly we don't even know what we're praying. And I think about Mary, the Virgin Mary. Of course, the angel Gabriel appeared to her and she had this wonderful visitation from God. And Gabriel said, Mary, God has chosen you to bear his son. And Mary's response was, you know, first of all, how's this going to happen? And the angel said, Mary, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and you are going to be impregnated with the God himself, the divine life. And Mary's response was, she could have said anything. She could have been like Eve. She could have said no. She could have said, I don't think this is going to happen. I don't really believe. But rather she said, as we know, this has been so memorialized in the church. We pray this every evening in the Liturgy of the Hours. She said, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to God's will. In other words, what she said is yes. Jesus said yes and reversed Adam's no. Mary said yes and reversed Eve's no. And she's basically, the word is fiat. Yes, God's will be done. And because of her yes, she was impregnated and a whole new humanity was born. Salvation was born through the yes of Eve, through the yes of Mary. And through Jesus' yes, now we can say yes to God. And that's the basic decision that we can make. A basic choice is either yes or no. And I'm inviting you to say yes to God. I think about two huge moments of surrender in my life. One was my ordination. I was ordained a priest 19 years ago, a Catholic priest. We had this big ceremony in Chicago, Illinois. There were three of us being ordained, and the bishop was there, and all my family was there. It was a beautiful ceremony. If you've ever been to a priesthood ordination, you know that at one point in the, after the scriptures are proclaimed and after the homily, at one point in the ordination ceremony, the priest actually lies prostrate right there in the sanctuary. In other words, face down, laying down on the floor while they pray the litany of the saints. Everybody in the church is singing and praying the litany of the saints, asking for the saints to strengthen the priest, the newly ordained, to bless him, to ask God's blessing on him. And I still remember when I was laying there on the floor, I could smell the dust while I was laying there powerless, open, totally giving myself to God, face down, prostrate on the floor. It was a very beautiful moment. And I prayed, I said, Lord, strengthen me, imbue me with your anointing so that my priesthood will be full of passion, so that I can make a difference in the world, so that my priesthood will touch people. And I remember that moment of surrender. I'll never forget it. And really, it's carried over to my whole priesthood. Another moment of surrender that was really important to me is when I was professed as a Passionist 25 years ago. This is my 25th Jubilee as a Passionist religious. First, we're professed. We proclaim the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience in our first vow to the Passion of Jesus. or profess first, then some years later after our education, we are ordained. But it was at our profession ceremony, and I'll never forget it. It was 25 years ago, and it happened at a church in Pittsburgh. We have a big monastery there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And at that church, you know, it was a hot day in September. Wonderfully enough, it was the birthday of Mary, September 8th, that we celebrate in the Catholic Church. Because remember, it was Mary's yes to God that caused humanity to be saved in the first place through Christ. So it was on the birthday of Mary that we dedicated ourselves to Jesus at the cross and proclaimed and professed our vow to the Passion. And in addition, I professed publicly my vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And it was a beautiful ceremony. There was singing and there was celebrating and there was, you know, the family was there and hugging and kissing and tears and that whole thing. And well, I'll never forget, right after the ceremony, as soon as we professed our vows, we went back in the sacristy and our novice master, we had two novice masters, they were there, they were Catholic priests. And we go back there, the eight of us who were professed, and they gave us a piece of paper. Actually, it was a legal document. And this is what the legal document said. It said, for the rest of my life, everything that I earn, everything given to me, all my resources will be given to the community. I will own nothing. And underneath, there was a line there where I had to sign it, and they gave me the pen. They gave me the pen, and I looked at it, and I said, wait a minute. What about all the, let's go back out into the church with all the celebrating and all the hugging and the kissing and the tears and everything. I said, this is hard. I was about to sign my life away in terms of poverty. And you know what? I did it. I did it gladly. And I still do it with all the money that I make on my books or my TV programs and all the donations that come to me. This is all given back to the community. I own nothing. And I gladly do it because Jesus is worthy of our surrender. And I have to tell you that if I had it to do all over again 25 years later, I would absolutely, positively, definitely do it again. Have you ever heard of a man named Nathan Hale? Nathan Hale was a patriot for the United States in the Revolutionary War against Britain, against Great Britain, against the English. And he was captured as a spy at age 19 years old. And they hung him. They hung him as a spy. He was a great hero for the revolution and for the states. And right before he hung, Nathan Hale made a statement that I absolutely love. He said, I regret that I only have one life to give for my country. And when I think about my profession and my surrender as a priest and, you know, what I've given up, this is the thought that I have. I regret that I only have one life to give for my God. Because, folks, what we have to understand is God is so worthy of our surrender. When I talk about surrender and abandonment and yielding, I'm not just talking about surrender for the sake of surrendering or because it's a holy thing to do, or it's the right thing to do, or it sounds good, or it's a fundamental act of discipleship. We're surrendering to God. We're surrendering to the one who, out of nothing, gave us life. Think about it. Every breath, every heartbeat, every moment is a gift from God to you. So when you surrender, in effect, what you're doing is you're only giving back to God what he gave you in the first place. I mean, it's not like we're giving God something that he doesn't already have. Out of nothing, God created you. So it is right and just to give God thanks and to give God all that he's given us in the first place. And, you know, he never coerces us. He never forces our surrender. He never puts himself on us. It's an act of our will. It's a gift of ourselves. What return can we make to the Lord? We give ourselves to God. And it's a beautiful act. And you can do it as a parent. You can do it as a student. You can do it as a priest. You can do it as a doctor. You can do it as a single person, whoever you are. Surrender. And God fills that surrender with His presence. He fills that surrender with His grace. And besides creating us from nothing, all you have to do is look at creation and how beautiful it is, how magnificent God is, from the smallest insect to the stars, the galaxies up above, and everything in between. God is worthy of our surrender. And then what about forgiveness? God's mercy endures forever. His forgiveness is so wonderful, so beautiful. The Bible says that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God put our sins from us. God has cast our sins into the depths of the sea.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live with passion.